Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12 Education Talk Radio, and it's October 5th, 2022. Thanks for being with us today as I shut off the music on kind of a gray day here in Maine, as we've talked to everybody all across the country. So I hope it's a little sunny where you are. Okay, today we got a nice show for you today with Dr. Amber Northern. Amber is the senior vice president. Maybe the senior vice president, we'll ask her, okay, for research, okay, at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, which is an education policy think tank located in D.C., all right, and she's the supervisor of the institute studies and research staff and all that sort of thing. She started off as a high school teacher. She says here many moons ago. I can't imagine it was that many moons ago, but it is. Everything we're doing is linked as you're on the website right now listening to the show, but our other website is at ace-ed.org. That's actually the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, and please go over there, check out all the things we do, our magazine, all of our podcasts are over there, our other informational websites, our Excellence in Equity Awards, seltoday.org, teacher-retention.com. Everything we do is linked, etc., over at ace-ed.org. Today we're going to talk about industry-recognized credentials. You all know what this is for high school students, which I think is a pretty good idea, okay, where the students can start to have their industry work recognize and start to pick up the credentials they need for success as they go into a career. Amber and the team have been researching this, whether or not they work, what we should be doing with them, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're going to get into the details right now, okay, talking about the industry-recognized credentials that students earn in high school. And here's the one and only Dr. Amber Northern. Hi, Amber. Larry's here.
Hi. Hey, Larry. Nice to speak with you and excited for this conversation.
Well, I'm thrilled you're here, and I really do appreciate it. I have to ask you something. I was talking to, by coincidence, an old friend of mine called. He's in New Hampshire. Do you know a guy named Fred Bramante? Have you ever heard of Fred?
I haven't. Tell me more.
Well, Fred is a great guy, and he's really he's the king of credentialing kids. Okay.
Okay, I need to meet him
in high school. Okay, and he's been the president of the state school board and all that sort of thing, works now with the New Hampshire State Commissioner of Education, working to get credentials recognized, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to introduce you guys when all this is said and done. Okay.
Very
I don't know
cool.
if you knew him or not, but he's a good guy and an old, old friend. He actually ran for governor a couple of times in New Hampshire. So he's pretty well known up in this neck of the woods. Okay. And you know, I always find this, Amber, really, really fascinating, okay, because it didn't exist when I was in school, okay? We all wore togas when I was in school. It was many, many years ago, and we weren't even allowed to ride our dinosaurs to work to school. So it was terrible, all right? But it's a good thing, in my opinion. But I'm curious if it sounds like it's a good thing, and it seems like it's a good thing. And now we're going to find out, thanks to the Thomas Fordham Foundation, Thomas B. Fordham Institute, excuse me, okay, whether or not your research shows really is a good thing. And before we get into that, tell us what the Fordham Institute is, what it does. And I have to ask, is it related to Fordham University?
It's not. I know a lot of people think that, but we're not.
Is it the same Fordham?
Yeah, no relation at all.
Fordham
he was actually an industrialist in Ohio, and that's our namesake. He didn't have an heir, and his wife left some money to our president emeritus. So we are not affiliated with them, but have roots in Ohio. But we are a K-12 think tank, meaning we do a bunch of research on anything and everything having to do with K-12 education.
Wow.
And we write a lot of commentary about the research that we do and weigh in on different things happening across the country in K-12 education and try to push for good policies that benefit all kids in schools. So that's what we do.
Well, that's what we do here. So I'm going to say right now, when this show's done, we're going to have to learn to do more together. Okay, that's really good stuff. And now that you guys
I'm
are there, I think
it.
That's great. And I'm sorry we didn't know each other before this, for goodness sakes. Okay,
that's
and,
right.
Out of curiosity, okay, and you are Dr. Northern. Okay, you have your doctorate in education, and you were a high school teacher. I don't know what. You'll tell us in a second.
I was.
And how'd you get involved in this? This is cool. Just tell everybody.
Yeah.
Because we're talking to a zillion teachers, okay? And they're, I think they're interested
good.
In how people's careers work.
I know. I think so, too, because I certainly didn't know a type of job like this would exist for a former teacher.
Exactly.
I started teaching high school English, you know, when I graduated. I was taught in Virginia and North Carolina. And then I left like many teachers do. It was just, boy, teaching is a hard job.
It is.
We know that. Our teachers are just, you know, God bless them, the work that they're doing each and every day.
I couldn't agree more.
But I left and got a master's degree in secondary education, started teaching community college, really enjoyed that, but just wanted to stay in education, but really just enjoyed research. I don't know, maybe everyone does it, but I like studying and learning more about education, so I went back to UVA and got a doctorate in education evaluation and policy, and I did some research after that, and then landed at Fordham, so... but I always, and I say this and it drives me nuts, but I feel like I got so much more respect around my teaching once I left the classroom than when I was in it. Because what I do now, people always want to know, you know, if you can talk about this and you're going to position yourself as an expert, you know, you better have done what we've done and have that teacher hat, which I feel like I always wear that teacher hat because, you know, there's a lot of lofty ideas in think tank land and the ivory tower. But unless you've been in a real classroom, then you start thinking, you know, back in the day, do I think this would have worked in my classroom is the screen that I put everything through?
That's a great question that you have to ask yourself. Would it have worked in my classroom when I was teaching? And classrooms have changed. Okay, and I'll segue. This is a pretty good segue in that your career track is always, that's interesting stuff. And, you know, it's a good segue. Schools have changed and they're beginning they have begun to see, okay, over the course of the last few years, that this credentialing, it just makes sense. That when you talk about it, I'll ask you. You explain. You can probably do better than me. What are industry recognized credentials? I'll just ask, and why are they important? And how did you get interested in this? Why are you covering this?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons is that we know that a traditional four-year college university education doesn't work for all kids. Sometimes it's just a simple matter of fact that the student doesn't want to go to college. They're not prepared. Maybe they don't have the money. Maybe they need to go to a community college first before they're ready to make that deeper commitment to a four-year degree.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so we feel like we need to offer more pathways to kids to have a successful career that doesn't necessarily have to go through the doors of a four-year university.
Mm-hmm.
And career and technical education used to be called vocational education, but, you know, today we call it career and technical ed. And that's really a pathway where we're trying to give kids the skills, the knowledge, the, you know, the dispositions that they need to succeed in the workplace. And so it's an opportunity for a student to learn some of these industry recognized skills in manufacturing and health science and engineering and cosmetology, architecture, construction. There are many different, pathways and fields, but try to get them to learn some of these skills while they're in high school that'll set them up for entry level positions in these fields if they choose not to go to college.
And if they think that, you know,
you
might be interested in becoming a plumber, okay, which is, by the way, all these things are wonderful to become, okay? These are good careers, all right? But, but you may discover you don't like plumbing, and it's best to discover that in high school, don't you think? Instead of spending a fortune trying to figure it out. And I think that's the key, and I have to say something, Amber. We always have that phrase, and you know this phrase, college and career ready. Okay.
Ready.
And that's supposedly the goal of K-12 education. But I have said this 100 times. We need to drop the word college, hell of that. Okay. What schools need to do is make kids career ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we sort of make it, oh, well, that's second college first and secondary also career ready. No. Okay. That's not the way to do it. Okay. A career as a plumber, as an electrician, as a carpenter is as important as any other career. And they're wonderful jobs. Nurses, you can go right down the list. Anything you want, a cosmetologist. I don't care. Anything you want to talk about. Okay. They're all important careers. All right. Mm-hmm. And we can't emphasize college. There's no need to do that. If a kid wants to go to college, that's great. Okay. But it's not, like you said, it's not for everybody. And I love the way high schools have shifted to try to understand this. Okay.
Right.
And to me, you know, we're always saying, go find a plumber, find an electrician, go find a carpenter. These people, these highly trained people are very, very hard to find these days.
Fine. Okay? That's right. And they make a much better living than we think.
They sure do. Automobile mechanics. You can go right down the whole list. Okay. This is the lifeblood of America. All right. And for schools to understand that the role of K-12, in my opinion, is to create literate, good citizens. Okay. And prepare people for a career. Okay.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be college. That's what I guess I'm ranting here, but I guess it's,
that's right.
Yeah. It's my point. I love, career and technical education. Sure. Go on to college if you want. But you don't have to.
Right.
Okay. Who came up with the idea? And again, I want to ask you, what gave you the idea to go into all the studying?
Yeah, I think the, businesses and industries we've always wanted them to be more involved in education, to tighten the link between, school and industry. And it's only been, in the last 10 years or so that I'd say that these industry-recognized credentials have really caught on.
Exactly.
Because in many ways, we think that, that they need to be out of school first. But really, my goodness, we need to give them a leg up. And even some states right now, Louisiana's one, is saying, there's not enough time in the school day to do some of these courses and have these kids learn these skills. So we're seeing these sort of innovative approaches where they're having kids finish all their core classes by 9th and 10th grade. And then 11th and 12th grade, everybody, so it's not tracking, everybody is either going to a satellite location and participating in an apprenticeship or a dual enrollment course, which means, you're basically getting credit for both the community college and the high school for taking that course. But everybody's getting a leg up on their career or their college, or maybe some of these dual enrollment courses where you're getting dual credit are also in career and technical education. But my point is, to your point as well, that we really need to give kids a leg up by the time they're 17 and 18 years old and not wait until they're 19, 20, 21 to start preparing them for the workforce.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, the other thing that we used to depend on, was the military. The military could draft you and train you. Okay, that was another way people moved ahead. But that used to be when everybody used to get drafted, when everybody guys used to get drafted. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an old word, everybody. If you're too young to know what that is, the government could bring you into military service. Okay, and that doesn't happen anymore. It's an all-volunteer military. So that role has changed. Okay, and again, that falls back on K-12. Okay, to train electricians and all that sort of thing. That's what the military did so many years. Okay, of that sort of thing, how's it all working out, you mentioned Louisiana, southern states, northern states, western states, is it working better one area of the country? How's it all working out these days?
Well, right now it seems like there's some growing pains. That's the best way that I can explain it. Part of the problem is still states are trying to work out the kinks. And one thing that we saw in the Texas study, which was probably the biggest surprise to me, was that when kids got one of these industry recognized credentials in high school, they weren't following up on it in their majors if they choose, to go to college. Or if they didn't choose to go to college, they weren't entering into the same field, because we were able to track these kids. They weren't entering the same field in which they received their IRC. So we thought, well, that is curious, because that sort of dismantles the whole idea we have of a pathway. And so one thing we also did wasn't just a quantitative study. We also did a qualitative piece. We had a bunch of focus groups with kids And what we learned just from talking to kids was, you know, their incentives and adult incentives are completely different. In many cases, you know, they want to learn how to, you know, flip a house. So that's why they're getting a construction IRC.
Wow.
You know, they think they're going to flip houses and earn money on the side. Or, you know, it's a lot more fun to take a cosmetology class because, you know, I like doing hair, but I don't want to do hair for the rest of my life. Or, you know what, I want to learn how to fix my own car and not pay a mechanic. So that's why I'm going to take automotive class. Or it was just so much more practical when you talk to the kids. It's like, this is not like, kind of like you're saying, let me try it out. Let me see if I like it. And then I'll make my decision whether I want to continue on. But many of them don't, you know, they find, and much better, like you're saying, to find out you don't like it in high school than sink in a bunch of student debt in a technical program or in college. And
when you
say many of them,
Amber, is it like 80% or is that 20%? When you say many, what's that percentage you're kind of thinking
of? When we looked at the alignment between kids who went to college and kids who majored, for instance, it was only about a third of the kids who majored in the same field. In some cases, it was just 20% of kids who went into the same field, you know, that they got the IRC in. So it's the majority of kids that aren't going into the same field, whether in college or in the workplace, than it is the kids who do. And so,
what an interesting statistic. You know, it kind of reminds me, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a fireman. Okay, and now a firefighter, excuse me, ladies. Okay, and so you want to be a firefighter, then suddenly you realize when you're 18, you don't really like heights. You're not going to climb that ladder. Okay, literally and figuratively. So you move on to something else, but it's good to learn it, okay, before you have to go and fight the fire. All right, and the other thing I have to ask you, which I think is really an important thing, there's a real shortage of educators out there across the board. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in I'll call it Votech, CTE, whatever you want to call it. All right. Are there enough qualified educators, okay, to train these kids? Are they getting the proper education to say, this guy's a really good teacher. I really do like automobile mechanics. This is what I'm going to do for a while. Okay. What's the teacher set up like these days?
Yeah, there weren't a lot of kids who got IRCs in education, very few numbers. I think it was less than 50 in our sample. And we had, you know, thousands and thousands of kids in the sample. So I think the idea is, if you're going to go in education, most people realize they're going to, you know, enter that in college. So you don't see many kids at all getting IRCs in education.
Yeah, I asked that question wrong. You're answering the wrong question, okay? And your answer was great, but I asked the question wrong. Are there enough Votech CTE teachers to teach automotive, to teach electrician work, to teach carpentry,
etc.? It definitely varies. That's right.
Yeah.
It definitely varies by school district, obviously. And what we found in another study is that when you look at rural areas, often that's where you really see the crunch on teachers for all of these different subject areas.
Yeah.
They just don't tend to have as many folks with these various expertise in these fields. And so what those school districts end up doing is trying just to, you know, put all their resources in one or two pathways. You know, maybe we're just going to do an agriculture IRC, or maybe we're just going to do a business IRC or a health science IRC, because they just don't have the human capital to be able to pull off. I think there's, you know, 12, 15, in some cases 20 different fields to be able to do each one of those well. So you really need to say, that's one of the first questions you need to ask as a district is, do we have the talent to teach these courses, the expertise? And often the answer is no.
And what is, this is a key question, and I know generically what it is, but what are I'll say it this way, what are the requirements for an industry related, excuse me, industry recognized credential? In other words, just 2 years of an hour a week working with somebody who's an electrician, and suddenly you have a credential in the future being a electrician. How's that work? What's the actual program?
Yeah, so the hours vary. The cosmetology kids especially need, that field's a little bit more stringent on meeting hours. Other fields just require you to demonstrate skills and not seat time. So it again, it varies. There's no one answer. But if you are often, if you participate in what we call CTE concentration, that means you take at least three classes in a field. Then at the end of those three courses, that concentration, you are allowed to take a test or demonstration of your skills. And when you master those skills or demonstrate those different dispositions and behaviors, then you'll be awarded that certificate. So it's about, okay, so, you know, the timing and the courses that you take.
Okay, so I just want to get to the bottom line here. Okay, Amber, you know this, and you read this research and wrote it and all that sort of stuff. Okay, is the industry recognized credentials program, this is speaking generically, is it working? Mm-hmm. Is it something that should be expanded and every school should really be offering this? Or what's your take on it? And I guess that's half anecdotal and half data driven. Okay.
That's right. I'm going to say it's not working yet. And
that's
here's
okay.
why. Yeah, I think one is, again, we need a hierarchy of IRCs, of these credentials, because what we found in the study is that most of the IRCs kids were getting, want to take a guess what those IRCs were in? You have any idea?
No, I don't.
Microsoft Office.
Oh, geez.
Microsoft Office is an IRC. And OSHA is workplace safety. So this is a problem, right? We're not getting kids with these, you know, super duper skill sets in mechanical engineering. We're getting a lot of kids with general workplace skills like Microsoft Office and OSHA, which is, you know, workplace safety. And all well and good. It's all well and good. Nobody's saying that's a bad thing. But we're treating a Microsoft Office or, you know, a CPR credential just like we're treating a, you know, architectural credential or mechanical engineering or all these things. So we need to be a little bit more discerning. And I think the biggest thing that we said in the report is, you know what, let's do a hierarchy of these credentials so kids know, okay, this is the kind that, you know, you're exploring, right? You want to find out whether you like something, you can take this course. This is the kind of course where if you're serious about it, you should take these second, third course to find out whether you really like it. And then this is the kind of RC that actually is stackable. So in other words, you know, if you want to start up a nurse assistant and then you want to be a, you know, an RN, then you want to be a family practitioner, you know, all these certificates are going to stack. And then you've got one that's the master, right? That says, okay, I have a mastery of the essential skills and I'm ready to go in this field, you know, with this IRC or certificate. So that's what we don't have now. We're just treating them all the same. It's not really working because we aren't sending the right signals to employers and to colleges about the merits of these various certificates.
And actually, that was going to be my next question. Who needs to really get the signal? Is it the college? Is it the employer or the higher education, be it a community college, whatever the case may be, an institute of some sort, whatever? Is it them? Is it the employer or is it the, you know, when you finish a study like this, are enough people in K-12 reading it so that they can, who's going to institute the changes if it's not K-12? Where is that going to happen?
Yeah, well, I mean,
and by the way, I apologize, a little bit of drilling outside. By coincidence, we have a couple of gentlemen working here today, so everybody can hear that in the background, okay? Two highly trained electricians, by the way, okay?
There you go.
To whom, for their good work and their expertise, I am paying a fortune, okay?
That's right. There you go.
Okay, so my point is, everybody, this is good. This is good stuff, okay? CTE is good stuff, but go ahead.
That's right. So the signal needs to go to all of those audiences. The industry needs to know it. The colleges, if kids choose to go to college, they need to know it. And I think what happens is when you ask industry, I was doing an interview yesterday, and they were saying, you know, well, what's been the problem when you ask industry, what do they want? The first thing they say they want is someone with interpersonal skills, writing and oral, you know, abilities, you know how to carry yourself, right? And what they do is they see a college degree as a proxy for all of these interpersonal skills. You have persistence. You graduated, right? You showed up on time. You went to your classes. So all that to them is this proxy for this under interpersonal, non-measurable skills. But if we had a better way to say, okay, here's a IRC that's about general workplace skills and showing up and being on time and looking somebody in the eye or whatever you want it to be. And then this IRC is actually, you know, aligned skills and technical, you know, skill set that's aligned to, you know, whatever field it is, then that would go a long way into making employers feel like they've got that first. It's like a Maslow hierarchy, right? Yeah, you've got
the first thing
out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story, and actually it's an Ohio-based story. You were originally Ohio-based, okay?
Mm-hmm,
and a
right.
gentleman who I interviewed him years ago, when this always stuck with me. He was a man whose job it was to get high school students jobs in the industry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was his job for the school district,
okay?
And he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, invariably people are hired for their hard skills. Okay, but
right.
they are invariably fired for their lack of what we stupidly call soft skills.
Soft skills, right, right.
They can't get along with people. They don't know how to take orders. Okay, they don't
right.
know how to do this. They don't know how to do this. And I'll say something. A lot of that, okay, and especially
mm-hmm.
in this day and age, okay, has to do with what we call social-emotional learning, okay, which is
right.
very big this year. And we tend to keep
mm-hmm.
that as a separate
mm-hmm.
thing. But the social-emotional mm-hmm. learning affects, A, academic performance, but it will also affect your performance in life skills and work skills, which is exactly
right.
what you were saying, all right?
Yes.
And it's something that
yes.
that K-12 education needs to really understand, recognize, and if I may,
right.
incorporate into educational
mm-hmm.
training.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know?
That's right.
And what you're saying is exactly right. But I have to ask this question, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Who sets the standards for the industry mm-hmm. recognized credentials? Is it the Electrical Workers Union, the Electricians Union?
Oh, right.
That was the example since I got electricians here today. Okay. Is it them?
Yes.
Or is it the school district? Or how does it all come together? And
no,
the state must have something to do with it.
It's
yeah.
actually the industry. So, for instance, there is an American Welding Society, AWS, and they issue all sorts of welding certifications as IRC.
I wish that group could get America to work together. That would be great to bond America. We could use some good welding. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can get an inspection IRC in welding. You can get one in engineering. You can get one in education. You can get one in sales. So, yes, you have these industry sort of recognized associations, if you will, that come up with these various certifications, and those are the types of certifications that then state policymakers look at and say, okay, we think this is high quality. We think it's going to, you know, lend the right sort of entry-level skills to our students, and they include it as an industry-recognized credential in their state career and college-ready indices. So in other words, you know, when you states have these accountability systems that I'm sure your listeners know about, and one of the things that they get credit for, so to speak, are the number of students in many states who attain IRCs. The problem is, like I said before, is some of these credentials really aren't, you know, when you're talking Microsoft Office and OSHA and CPR, they're really not what people think they are. So we need to do better incentivizing
yeah.
the right type of IRCs and not just giving states credit for the number of kids that get them.
Here. And actually, that's one of the great points. All of the things, and I always said the economics of the situation can be manipulated to the needs of the country. Okay, and we have to,
mm-hmm.
if I may,
mm-hmm.
we have to look at that. You don't just give away things willy-nilly. Okay, you
mm-hmm.
look at how the long-term right. effect, and you move it in the right direction. Okay, it's really
mm-hmm.
fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
What did you teach when you were a teacher?
I taught literature, British literature, American literature, world literature.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here you are
doing
like industry recognized industry recognized. I think I love that. That's great.
There you go.
I mean, it's just great. And it just goes to show you, you know, and I don't mean to downgrade British literature and American literature. Obviously, that's extremely important for a well-rounded education. But I'll say
there
it again. Our goal is to create careers that engage children, the students, okay, to make
them
really economically proud and able adults. Okay, and I might add good citizens. And it doesn't hurt to know a little bit of Dickens either, I got to tell you. It doesn't
hurt a bit. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Amber, this is great. We
got to
do more
together.
This was fun. Now that I know you guys exist, this is great. Okay, the Thomas B. Fordham Institution, everybody. And have it linked on site, okay, if you want to go over there and check all this out. This is really good. I'm going to introduce you to my friend Fred Bramante. I promise you.
I look forward to it. I enjoy the conversation. And like you said, let's do it again.
We will. This is terrific. It's great to know you, Amber. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys got in touch with me. I appreciate it. I'm glad to get the word out for you, too. Okay? So thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk again.
You too.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Amber. Amber Northern, Dr. Northern, former British literature teacher, now... Okay, Senior VP for Research at Thomas B. Fordham Institute, which is a think tank in Washington, D.C., and she supervises all the institute studies and research. And, you know, if we're doing this stuff, we got to make sure we're doing it right. And we always say this, data matters. Okay, so please, before you jump into stuff, look at the data. Okay, and this will help. And again, this research report is linked, as is the whole Fordham Institute, at where you are right now on the website. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Okay, click over, see all the stuff we do over there. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Can't thank you enough for listening. Have a safe day.